Module 5, Using Elk Calls. Chapter 2, Become a Better Elk Caller. I've been calling in the World Elk Calling Championships hosted by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation for over 25 years. In this time, I've seen a wide variety of elk calls and elk callers, and I've learned many things that have made me a better elk hunter. I hear the argument all the time. Being good on the stage doesn't mean anything since you have to call way differently in the woods, or human judges are way easier to fool than an elk. However, I'll tell you right now that I use the exact same sounds when I'm trying to win a World Elk Calling Championship as I do when I'm trying to call in a call-shy raghorn bull on public land. And there's one reason for that. Authenticity. Whether it's a human judge behind a curtain on a stage or a wise old bull elk, I want to sound as much like an elk as I can. The more closely I sound to an elk, the better, in both cases. Be sure to reference the web version or the app version of the University of Elk Hunting online course for this important chapter on learning to use elk calls. There are several videos that are going to be important to walk you through the steps of becoming a better elk caller. Here is the audio of me calling during the 2015 World Elk Calling Contest, in which I was fortunate to win the professional division. I use these exact same sounds when I'm calling to elk in the field as well.
Number 4, cow sounds, please. Thank you, caller number 4.
Explaining how to learn to use a diaphragm elk call or how to improve as an elk caller would be tough to demonstrate in writing or in audio. So I've created a series of 5 videos that detail everything it takes to use diaphragm elk calls with confidence. I start at the very beginning with just learning to make sounds with a diaphragm elk call, and then walk you through the basic mechanics of using a diaphragm elk call. Then I'll dive into the mechanics of cow calls and the mechanics of bugles, and finish it up by showing you how to apply those mechanics in the sounds that elk make. I'll touch on some of the important sounds that elk actually make and why they make them, and show you how to replicate those sounds in a way that will have you prepared and confident to make the sounds you need to make when you're hunting. So pop a diaphragm elk call into your mouth and listen to the audio from those videos now.
Today we're going to talk about using diaphragm elk calls. And when it comes to diaphragm elk calls, they can be intimidating, primarily because they're hard to learn how to use for most people. But it doesn't have to be like that. If you break it down into a simple process, I'm going to show you how you can be an exceptional elk caller using a diaphragm elk call. If you haven't watched our previous video on selecting a diaphragm elk call, be sure and do that, as well as the video on proper care for diaphragm elk calls. Both are going to be really important for you to get started once we jump in here and start talking about how to master the diaphragm elk call. When it comes to using a diaphragm elk call, it's really not that complicated. At least it doesn't have to be. We're going to simplify the process for you today and show you how you can use them to maximize the sounds that you're making with the diaphragm. There are three things I want to touch on first off when it comes to using a diaphragm call. The first is placement of the call in your mouth. Second, we're going to touch on airflow. And third, we're going to touch on pressure. So when it comes to placement, a diaphragm is built with an outer tape, and the tape is just simply the apparatus that allows you to position the diaphragm in your mouth. Inside the tape, there's a metal frame, and inside the metal frame is latex. The latex is actually what makes the sound, and the vibration of air across the latex is what produces sound. Once you learn to produce sound, from there it's just a matter of controlling that sound. So to get started, you put the diaphragm in with the latex side down. So the latex is down against your tongue. If there's a dome or anything on top, that goes up against the roof of your mouth. And then the tape side goes back in your mouth. The latex is facing out. So it goes in just like this. From there, just take your tongue, set this on your tongue, and then seat it up against either the top row of your teeth or the roof of your mouth. Just get it in your mouth up against the roof there where it's most comfortable. You don't want it back too far. You don't want it forward too much. You want it just where it's slightly forward of middle, but where it's also comfortable, because comfort's going to be a big part of this. From there, you just take your tongue and don't use the tip of your tongue. If you use the tip of your tongue, the tip of that tongue is just a very acute little muscle, and it's going to be harder to control. Plus, it's going to tickle like crazy. So use more of the ball of your tongue, the rounded part of your tongue, and seat that call, the diaphragm call, up against the roof of your mouth. Just move it around a little bit, find where it's most comfortable. From there, it's just a matter of getting airflow over the latex. So I'm going to put the diaphragm in, get it seated where it's comfortable. For me, it's comfortable a little bit farther back, so I have to get it to that position, then I move it forward just slightly. If it's too far back, again, if you're using the back part of your tongue, that's too big of a muscle, and it's going to be harder to control and control that flex as you get more pressure from your tongue up into the latex. Find that placement. From there, it's simply a matter of controlling airflow. When you take a deep breath and then exhale that breath, you want to be able to channel the airflow right along the bottom of the latex between your tongue and the latex so that the air is channeled right along the latex. Again, it's that vibration of air against the latex that produces the sound. You don't want air escaping over the top, which the tape helps to prevent that. So you want to seal against the top of your mouth and on the sides with the tape so that you can channel all of that airflow right across the latex. If you're getting air escaping around the side, you're going to get a lot of this sound. So you can hear the air as well as the latex vibration. You want to seal that air so that all you hear is the latex vibration. Again, I'm putting just a small amount of air. I exhale just a small amount of air and channel it across that latex, using my tongue to direct it right into the center of the latex. So that airflow is really important. You need to make sure that it's sealed as best you can. There's probably always going to be just a little bit of air escaping out the sides or over the top, but you want to be able to force at least 80 or 90% of your airflow between your tongue and the latex. That's going to allow you to hit that high note and hold it better. It's going to allow you to control the sounds that you make with the diaphragm a lot better. So now that you've got the placement and you've learned to channel that airflow, it's simply a matter of making sound. So when you put it in there, take a deep breath and just channel some of that air across it with your tongue up against the latex, and it should make a sound. If it tickles your tongue, that's okay. It's going to get better. Just keep doing that. I know it's going to tickle like crazy for those of you who are new at this, but you'll get over it, I promise. You might try sliding it back just a little farther in your mouth if that's an issue. From there, you just put it in your mouth, channel that airflow, and make noise. You'll notice I'm just blowing a very light volume of air across that, and I'm putting very light pressure with my tongue on the latex. I don't want to force it up against it. I don't want to force a bunch of air across it. I just want to get very light air and very light tongue pressure just to make that contact and make sound. If you're having troubles making any sound at all, put the diaphragm in your mouth and get it comfortable, and then say the word hiss, H-I-S-S, hiss. When you make the S sound in hiss, your tongue comes up naturally towards the roof of your mouth, and it's going to contact that latex at the exact time that you're forcing air across your tongue to say the word hiss. That S at the end of hiss will help you make sound with the diaphragm. When your tongue comes up for the hiss part of the sound, it's going to contact that latex just perfectly. From there, it's just a matter of learning to control it. And you learn to control a diaphragm sound with air pressure and tongue pressure, with tongue pressure being the most important. Tongue pressure is where you get all of your control. A lot of times callers on diaphragm elk calls will use air pressure, and they'll force a huge volume of air onto the latex and try to hit that high note. And it'll work for a very short second, but to be able to hold that high note, to be able to get control of the entire spectrum of the elk sound, you need to make sure you're learning to control the sound with tongue pressure. So with tongue pressure, all I'm talking about is the amount of pressure your tongue is putting up against that latex. Really lightly touching it with a little bit of air is going to produce a lower, almost vibrating, rattly sound. So that's just a really lower pitch sound, very light pressure. You can actually hear my tongue as it comes off of it a little bit and loses contact with the latex. As you push your tongue, as you kind of flex your tongue muscle up into that latex really smoothly, it's going to start transitioning up to a higher pitch. So all I was doing there is pushing my tongue up into that latex, still channeling all the air, just a light volume of consistent, steady air across the latex. It's so important to learn to control the diaphragm using tongue pressure. So I want you to practice that quite a few times. Just put it in, start low with low tongue pressure, make a noise, and then go up the scale with increased tongue pressure, coming back down with decreased tongue pressure. Doing that over and over. Stop, take another deep breath, slowly exhale that air as your tongue pressure is increasing and decreasing. From there, it's simply a matter of putting everything together and learning the mechanics of each sound, the cow sounds and the bull sounds. One more thing I want to talk about is your air pressure. So air pressure is designed to give you more volume. It will also help you when you hit that high note, hold the high note clear and steady. So as you're going up the scale on a bugle, you're going to want to use tongue pressure, and right when you get to the top, you increase that air pressure and push more air up against the diaphragm to hold that there. Once you're ready to come off, you decrease the air pressure, decrease your tongue pressure, and drop back off. So you can see there, when I made that motion, that was me pushing more air up against that latex. It provided more volume and it helped hold that high note so I can hold that note loud and clear when I hit the top end of the bugle. From there, as I mentioned, it's just a matter of taking that knowledge and applying it to the mechanics of each sound. practice the very simple parts, the placement of the call in your mouth, the airflow, the sealing of the latex or the sealing of the tape, the airflow across the latex, and then finally, that mastering of tongue pressure added with air pressure. In the next video, we're going to talk about how to make cow calls with the diaphragm elk call. So be sure and check out the next video as we go through all of the mechanics, the different parts of the sound of the cow call. With what you've learned in this video, you're going to be able to apply that and make great sounding cow calls with very little effort. All right, welcome back to another video on using diaphragm elk calls. This time we're going to talk about making cow sounds with a diaphragm call. If you haven't checked out the previous video on just using a diaphragm elk call, be sure and check it out first. The things that we cover, the fundamentals and the basics of using a diaphragm elk call are going to be vital to help you maximize the sounds that you're making as you start making these cow sounds with a diaphragm call. So when it comes to a cow sound, it's a really simple sound, and the mechanics of it are that it starts at a higher note and then tapers off fairly rapidly. So you start at a higher pitch and then drop off. So if you think back and look back on the last video we did, we talked about tongue pressure. To get the high note, we want to increase tongue pressure. So we start with an increased tongue pressure and then let off that tongue pressure to get this sound. And that's all there is to a cow call. So you want to start with an exaggerated tongue pressure to get the higher note. So I'm holding that, I'm channeling that air across it to get that high note. From there, all I want to do is drop off, just drop off that tongue pressure. So just kind of roll my tongue forward and down off of the latex. Still making contact as it comes slowly and gradually. It's a rapid drop, but it's not an abrupt drop. We don't want to do that where we pull it away completely immediately. It's a taper off of the latex with your tongue pressure. I like to push just a little bit of air against it right when I start. So I've got high tongue pressure, push a little bit of air pressure against it, and then drop the air in the tongue. So you can hear it's a really simple two-part sound to make a cow sound, just a simple cow call. From there, it's just a matter of shortening up that high pitch a little bit and making a little bit more of a rapid transition off of the latex with your tongue. And that's all there is to a cow sound. One more thing I like to add just to give it a little bit more realism, a little bit more of a formation of an elk sound, is I pronounce with my lips the letters E-O, E-O, E-O. And as your lips make that sound, it just gives a little bit more realism to the cow call. Listen to the difference without it and then with it. Adds just a little bit more realism, a little bit more of a nasally sound that a cow elk's going to produce. The difference between a cow call and a calf call is really just the pitch and the frequency or the cadence of the calf sound. So a cow is going to be a little bit deeper, a little richer sound. It's going to be a little bit longer and more drawn out, where a calf sound is going to be a little higher pitched and it's going to be a little shorter and choppier. So I'll do a couple cow calls and then I'll do a calf call. Again, the differences between a cow call and a calf call are going to be very subtle. It's just in the pitch and the frequency or the cadence of that calf call. Making both of them, though, is really simple. It's just a two-part sound, starting with that high pitch, dropping tongue pressure into that low pitch. And there's really no reason why you can't pick up a diaphragm call, learn how to use the call like we taught in the last video, and then make the cow sounds using the mechanics that we were taught in this video. And your cow sounds will sound like this. Again, you don't need very much air pressure at all. In fact, you can make a cow sound with minimal air pressure just simply by using tongue pressure. All I'm doing for those sounds is trapping just a slight amount of air between my tongue and the latex and flexing my tongue into it to push that air across the latex. There's no air coming from my lungs or from my diaphragm at all at that point. I do like to add a little bit of air there to get a little more volume, but I think you get the point. So when it comes to a bull elk sound, to the bugle, that's the main event. For me, that's the key sound to be able to call in elk. And being able to master it and sound like an elk is important to be able to call them in. So we're going to go through the very basic mechanics of a bugle. And if you'll listen to a bugle, you'll notice that it typically starts out on a lower note, it gradually climbs up to a high note, and then it pauses on that high note and holds that high note for a bit. From there, it drops off fairly rapidly back down to the low note. So if you imagine stairs going up, you start at the low stair, you climb up to a top stair, you stay there on the top stair for a bit, and then you quickly descend back down to where you started. When it comes to a bugle, that's exactly the same principle. That mechanic and learning how to control that mechanic is going to be important. And if you can control the sounds from your diaphragm, you're going to be able to make that bugle sound. From there, it's just a matter of adding a little bit of realism and gaining confidence in your ability to be able to control the sounds from the diaphragm. So the way we do that, as we learned in the first video on learning to use a diaphragm elk call, is with tongue pressure primarily. Tongue pressure, as you increase tongue pressure against the latex, you're going to go up the scale and to a higher note. So you want to start with low tongue pressure to start at that lower stair, increase tongue pressure up to the top stair. When we hit the top stair, we want to force some air across the latex. That's going to help us hold that high note consistent so we don't get any wavering that just our tongue pressure might allow it to do. It's also going to get us more volume on that high note. Then when we're ready to drop off that top stair, we simply let out of the air pressure, taper off and decrease the air pressure as we rapidly pull our tongue off of the latex to decrease the tongue pressure. So it's going to sound like this exaggerated. So you notice I start with that low tongue pressure, just a very slight amount of air going over the latex to produce that low note. And then I increase my tongue pressure to climb up the scale. As soon as I hit the high note, I want to force some air up across that latex from my diaphragm, from down here. So I want to kind of flex my diaphragm and force some air to help hold that high note. And that's all there is to a bugle. From there, it's just a matter of getting the right cadence as you go up the scale, holding the high note for the right amount of time, and then dropping off with the right cadence. And again, when I come down off of that, it's pretty abrupt. I'll drop a couple stairs and then I just pull my tongue away rapidly. So that's all there is. a gradual climb up the stairs, hold it on the top, start off, and then drop straight off. So if you'll learn to practice that mechanic, everything else will come together really easily for you. The problem is, most of the time we hear an elk bugle, we grab a diaphragm, we throw it in, and we try to sound just like that elk from the beginning. It's important to break it down to the very core of the sound, the mechanic of the sound, and learn to train our tongue for that. From there, everything else comes really easily. There's two other things I want you to add to that sound once we get to making the bugle. The first is just a voice growl. So that gets us a really low, growly sound at the beginning, as well as at the end of the bugle. And the way I do that is just right here in my throat, I just make a grrr sound, just like I'm frustrated and saying grrr. Get it as low and as growly as you can. That coupled with that light tongue pressure and light air pressure on the diaphragm is going to give us the perfect starting point for our bugle. So that right there, that combination of the growl in your throat with a little bit of air going across the latex makes that perfect start. From there, you drop the growl off and increase the tongue pressure. And then you add that growl at the very end as you come back down. That's really all there is to a great sounding bugle. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, that doesn't sound anything at all like a bugle. But when you couple it with the bugle tube and do those simple mechanics just like that, you're gonna be able to make great sounding bugles over and over. Again, really exaggerating everything. I think it's so important to exaggerate it so that you're really familiar with each aspect of that very basic mechanic of the sound. From there, speed it up a little, hold that high note just right, drop it off abruptly, and it's going to sound like this. Again, at the end, I'm just really exhaling all of that air that I've been holding in my diaphragm there. I'm exhaling all of that, I'm growling in my throat, and I'm dropping that tongue pressure. Without any growl, without any voice in that, this is what the bugle is going to sound like. Not really realistic, but when just adding that little bit of growl at the beginning and end, it's going to sound like this. And that's all there is to bugling. If you'll practice those mechanics, not worrying about the final result just yet, keep practicing those until you can hit that staircase all the way to that top high note and then hold that high note. The last thing I want to mention is the high note, and that's the key to a good sounding bugle. You want to be able to hit that high note and hold it, and that might take different placement in your mouth of the diaphragm. If you're having troubles hitting that high note, move the diaphragm around just a little bit, see if you can seat it a little bit differently and get that high note. If you can't, there's a good chance you might need a different diaphragm, because if the diaphragm latex is too thick, it's going to be hard to hit the high note. If it's too thin or too lightly stretched, it's going to be hard to hit that high note. So finding just a perfect middle of the road diaphragm that's going to get you on the board for the whole spectrum of sounds is going to allow you to really dial in from there. If you need a recommendation, the All-Star diaphragm that's available on the Elk 101 store is a great starting point. It's a good middle of the road with a medium latex and a medium stretch. This is the Champ. It's a lighter latex with a lighter stretch. Some people might struggle to hit that high note with it. The other one is the Contender diaphragm that has a thicker latex. So if you're blowing really hard on the diaphragm and you're having troubles controlling it or having troubles with blowing the sound out, you might try the Contender. But if you're looking for a good starting diaphragm for anyone, novice, intermediate, experienced, The All-Star is going to be a great one that's going to be able to allow you to hit cow sounds as well as good bugles, low notes as well as high notes. Again, here's what the bugle sounds like. Practice those mechanics and then put it all together to sound like this. Chuckling is probably the hardest call to make with a diaphragm elk call. It's not all that important for calling an elk, but it's the number one way that I use to determine whether the sound I'm hearing is an elk or another hunter. Hunters struggle with chuckling. So I'm going to teach you today a very simple way that you can learn to master chuckling using a diaphragm elk call. Be sure that you've watched video number one on basic use of diaphragm elk calls, just the learning to master a diaphragm elk call. I talk about three fundamentals that are going to be vital in helping you learn how to chuckle. What we're going to do is talk about the mechanics of the chuckle today. And if you've watched the previous videos on making cow sounds with a diaphragm elk call or learning to bugle with a diaphragm elk call, you'll know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the mechanics of the sound. It's just the outline, the sound chart that the sound takes. For a cow call, it starts high and drops off. For a bugle, it starts low, goes to the high note, and then drops off. For a chuckle, those mechanics are exactly the same as a bugle. So when you break a chuckle down into its very simplest form, the skeleton of a chuckle, all it's doing is starting at a low note, going to a high note, coming back down to a low note, exactly the same as a bugle. So that's light tongue pressure, increased tongue pressure, dropping off tongue pressure. So I'm going to give you just the mechanics of a bugle and show you how that translates into a chuckle. So you can see it's exactly like a bugle. It starts low, goes up, hits the high note, and drops off rapidly. As I get into it and get a little bit more of a faster cadence for that, I'm going to drop the couple bottom notes there and start off a little bit higher on the staircase, going up to the high note and abruptly off. Again, I'm dropping my jaw to drop my tongue away from the latex really rapidly. The only other thing you need to add in there is a little bit of voice and then an exaggerated inhale in between each of those sounds. So right in between going up the scale and dropping off, just exaggerate a deep breath in, a deep inhalation of air. And that's all there is to chuckling. Again, it's so important that you practice those mechanics slowly to really get the pattern of the sound down before you put the cadence together and try to speed it up. If you put a diaphragm in first time and try to chuckle, there's a good chance on that inhalation of air, you're going to swallow the diaphragm. So make sure you're practicing those mechanics before you swallow a diaphragm. Getting that exaggeration in that inhalation. From there, just add a little bit of voice, like at the beginning of a bugle, a little growl, come off with a loud, kind of an exasperated, and then a big inhalation. Add it to the bugle tube. And that's all there is to chuckling. Let me start with the big exaggeration of those mechanics and then slowly speed them up, getting into the full chuckle. Oh. Again, using your tongue and your tongue pressure to just slightly change the different sounds within the chuckle. Again, here's what a chuckle will sound like, so you can practice using this once you get those mechanics down. Practice those mechanics slowly at first, adding that inhalation, the exaggerated inhalation of air in between, and then simply speed it up to hit that faster cadence that a chuckle has. With that explanation of the basic mechanics of making cow sounds and bull bugles, I want to talk for just a few minutes on the different sounds that elk make. Now, elk make all sorts of sounds, noises. They communicate through a vocalization, and they make a lot of different sounds. But I don't feel it's important to be able to make all of those sounds personally as an elk hunter, and I don't necessarily think it's important to understand what that elk's saying when they make a sound. But there are times that recognizing the difference between what an elk is saying and the sound it's making can help you determine how aggressive you could be or how timid you might need to be as you understand what that elk is trying to communicate and what it's saying. So when it comes to cow sounds, there are three basic cow sounds that I want to talk about. The first is just their mew. Just a cow mew, that's how they communicate, that's how they talk, and you know, whether they're saying, hey, there's green grass over here, or I'm heading back to the bedding area now. Cows communicate through their mews, and that's just the simple cow call like I've demonstrated previously. It sounds like this. That's the simple cow mew. That's their basic form of communication, and that's what you're going to hear from the cows 90 or 95% of the time. Another sound that a cow makes is what's called the estrus scream, or the estrus cry, or the estrus call. That's the sound that a cow makes when she is in estrus and ready to be bred by a bull. It's not the crazy, wavy sound that sometimes you hear people make. It's a different sound. It's a very nasally sound, and there's actually emotion in that sound. You can tell kind of her desperation and pleading at that point. And that's made, I use my hand basically to form kind of a mouthpiece. And I put my lips up to it and I buzz my lips, kind of like I'm playing into a trumpet mouthpiece or something. And I do that during the cow call. So just a regular cow call with some added resonance and vibration from my lips. That's the estrus scream. That's the sound that a cow makes when she's ready to be bred. That can be helpful if you want to use that. If you have a bull that's with cows, maybe it's right before the peak rut, but if you're able to communicate to him that there's a cow down here that's ready to be bred, you might be able to pull a herd bull away from his herd, knowing that, hey, there's a cow down there that's ready to be bred. There's none in my herd that are ready to be bred. I'm going to fight for her and try to bring her into my harem. The last sound that a cow will make that I'm going to talk about is the bark. The warning bark is a sound you don't want to hear out in the woods, because when a cow barks, she's telling every other elk in the canyon, there's danger here, beware, get out of here, get to safety. A cow is going to give a bark anytime she smells you, sees you, hears something she doesn't like, any of those times, and it's going to alert everything else in there that there's some danger. That's going to make it very difficult for you to convince a bull at that point to come in. The reason I tell you about the cow bark is because I want to explain the difference between the cow bark and the bull bark. The cow bark always means danger and get out of here. A bull bark sometimes, a bull will give that when he's frustrated or when he's nervous. So if he's coming in and he gets to a point where he can see where the calls are coming from, but he can't see an elk there, a lot of times he'll bark out of nervousness or out of frustration and say, I can't see you up there. I hear you, but I can't see you. Step out and show yourself. He's not necessarily saying there's danger there at that point. So you can calm a bull back down when he barks, not when a cow barks. So this is what a cow bark sounds like. It's the deeper sounding, almost a dog bark sound that the elk make for warning. So that's the cow bark. The bull bark has a higher, more shrill sound to it,
and it sounds like this. Let me do them back to back so you can hear the difference. I'll do the cow bark followed by the bull bark. You can hear the difference in that. The cow is the deeper, the bull is the higher shrill bark. Again, if you hear that deep bark from a cow, you know she smelled your senior and you're gonna have a really tough time convincing him that you're not danger. When the bull barks and you hear that though, you can still convince him, hey, I'm another elk. In fact, sometimes I'll actually bark back at the bull and follow it up with some chuckles just so he knows I'm not alerting to danger. I'm just simply saying, I'm frustrated too. I can't see you. Why don't you come a little closer so I can see? And that the sound that I make to do that sounds like this. So again, we go back to those chuckles and the importance of being able to make them in that situation. That's really the only time that I would feel a necessity to make chuckles is to follow up a bark from a bull. Without that bark, maybe he'll take it as a warning. With those chuckles though, if I throw chuckles on at the end of a bark, I'm basically telling him, I'm nervous, I don't see you, I need to see you, not at all alerting him to the fact that there might be danger. A couple other sounds that fall under the same category as cow sounds are calf mews. There's two different sounds that a calf makes that I want to illustrate to you so you can maybe tell the difference in the dynamics of a herd. If you're hearing cow sounds and calf sounds, you know there's more than just a couple elk there potentially. A calf mew is exactly like a cow mew, except for it's higher pitched and shorter. So do the exact same mechanics that you do for a cow call, just make it a little bit higher pitched and a little bit more rapid. So again, you're starting with that high note a little bit higher and then dropping it off a little more rapidly. I'll do a cow call followed by a calf call. So you can hear the difference there and be able to tell the difference when you're out in the woods between a cow call and a calf call. One other call that calves make once in a while is called the lost calf cry. And that's basically putting, again, emotion into that call to be able to signify that a calf is lost or separated from the herd. Elk are herd animals. And when a cow hears another calf that is potentially lost, many times she'll come running to that calf to be able to say, hey, it's safe, come back over here with us. And sometimes when a cow comes running into those calls, the bull's gonna follow her. So this is what a lost calf cry sounds like. Again, it's that short, high-pitched calf mew, but very intense. There's a lot of emotion into it, signifying that I'm scared, I'm desperate. You've got to put that into it. And this is what the lost calf cry sounds like. So again, very rapid. There's something wrong when they're calling that much. And the cows will know that. They'll recognize that's a calf. They'll recognize that there's potentially danger, or the calf might be hurt or lost, and they might come running in to check that out. So I share these sounds with you, not that you necessarily need to make them, but they add some extra elements to your calling sequences that can help portray a certain situation to elk to be able to pull them into your setup. So now I'm going to transition and talk about the sounds that bull elk make. And again, there are so many sounds that elk make, and bulls are no exception. There's a whole array of different sounds that they make to communicate. But again, I don't really see the value in learning what each of those sounds mean, as well as what I need to respond with as far as a particular sound. I'm going to get a lot more into detail in Module 9 on how to call in elk and using emotion in your calls rather than a specific language. So we'll get into that in Module 9. But for now, I just want to demonstrate a couple sounds that elk make, so you're able to pick it out when you're out in the woods and maybe get an idea of the attitude that that bull's in. If he's giving a display bugle, he's talking to cows, he's trying to convince a cow to come to him.
if he's giving a weak bugle, maybe he's bedded down or just trying to locate and communicate, not really aggressive. If he's given a challenge bugle, he's ready to fight. And so knowing the differences in those bugles that the elk makes might be able to help us determine their attitude and how we need to approach, whether we approach timidly, whether we approach aggressively with our calls. I talked about the bark, the bull bark, in the last section when I was talking about cow barks. And again, it's not always a warning. Sometimes it's more of a curious, nervous, frustrated sound that they make. And I also talked about chuckles and how we can make chuckles as well as when we would want to use chuckles. Personally, I'll throw chuckles into my calling once in a while, but it's more of just an added element of realism. Unless I make a bull bark, then I want to make sure he knows that I'm not warning, I'm just frustrated or nervous. As we transition from that, there are three calls that I want to talk about that elk make. The first is a location bugle, and I've shared how to make the location bugle, but again, there's not a lot of emotion in that. If you hear an elk make an unemotional bugle, he's probably either bedded down or he's just trying to locate other elk. And that location bugle sounds like this. Again, it's not a very emotional bugle. It's just two or three notes up to that high note. You hold the high note, and that really broadcasts out there to a large area to be able to say, are there any other elk out there? Just trying to establish some communication with another elk. The next bugle is the display bugle. Now, this is a bugle a lot of times people will think is the actual challenge bugle, but the display bugle is what a bull uses to try to convince the cows, to display to the cows that he's the dominant bull in the area and try to convince them to come to him. That display bugle, I make it, again, by vibrating my lips on the mouthpiece of the bugle tube to get that deep resonation right in the middle of the bugle. So I start off with a normal bugle, and as I'm going up, I start vibrating my lips. That creates that real deep guttural sound. Then I hit the high note and then come back off on a regular bugle. And the display bugle sounds like this. So again, that vibration. Is made by vibrating my lips inside the mouthpiece of the bugle tube. That just creates that resonation inside there and gets that real deep guttural sound during the high note as it's transitioning up. So again, here's what the display bugle sounds like. Again, that's not a sound that I'm necessarily going to make. Every once in a while it'll come in handy, and I talk about a shock bugle using that lip ball bugle to break a bull loose if he's not talking. Sometimes that display bugle will get another elk to talk. But in a nutshell, I don't use that call, but I can use it to be able to tell if another elk's using that call, to be able to say he's trying to call in cows. Maybe I'll be more effective going in there with a cow call or an estrus cow call at this time, rather than going in wanting to challenge him. Because if he's given the display bugle, he's got cows on his mind, not fighting other bulls. The last bugle I'll mention is the challenge bugle. And contrary to the emotion used in a display bugle, a challenge bugle is a bull saying, I want to fight. He's communicating to another bull his frustration and his anger and telling that other bull he wants to fight. The challenge bugle, again, is just a very emotional, aggressive bugle. It's short, it goes up and hits the high note, and you put all the emotion you can into that bugle. You want to insult the elk and call him every name you can to portray to him that emotion that I want to fight. This is what the challenge bugle sounds like. Put that emotion into it. When you hear a bull elk give that, you make sure you answer him with a challenge bugle of your own, because he is ready to fight. He's frustrated and aggravated. He will come into a call. So I share those actual sounds that elk make, both bulls and cows, not as something that you need to practice, but more just so you're aware of them and able to differentiate them out in the woods. So when an elk makes a certain sound, you're able to get an idea of the attitude that he has so that you're able to adjust your approach, whether it's timid or aggressive, whether he's looking for cows or looking for a fight. you're able to respond with your own calling sequence. And I'll get into a lot more detail on actual calling sequences in Module 9 on calling an elk. I keep it very simple, and the advantage of simplicity is confidence. If you're able to make those three sounds effectively and have confidence in those sounds, you can go into the elk woods and know that you can use calls effectively and confidently enough to be able to call in an elk in just about any situation.
If you want to become better at anything in life, it's going to take practice. Elk calling is no different. One of the things I found very helpful is to listen to actual elk sounds and then try to replicate them. With the assistance of my good friend Randy Newberg and my friends at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, I've put together some video clips of the most authentic elk callers in the world, the elk. You can use the audio from the video next to help you hear what cow calls and bugles really sound like, and use this audio to practice and try to replicate them. Summary. With a better understanding of diaphragm elk call construction, you're now armed with the information you need to find a call that will work for you. From there, practice. Keep practicing in your garage, on your drive to work, in the backyard. Focus on the basics and work on one elk sound at a time. With practice, you'll be plenty good enough to call in elk. However, simply learning to make elk sounds isn't going to be enough to actually call elk in on a consistent basis. There are volumes of information that are important to learn before you start randomly firing off bugles in the woods. Learning to use elk calls and making elk sounds is a key part of elk hunting, and I'm going to dive into a lot more detail on calling elk in Module 9. Before I get into how to use elk calls to call in elk, I feel it's important to first establish a firm understanding of elk behavior.